I'm joined by Kirsty Campbell, Field Site Coordinator for the International Medical Corps. Kirsty, you've been visiting a number of morgues today. The rebels talk about 400 people being killed over the last few days. What are the sort of numbers you've been seeing?
We had 17 dead prisoners who came in last night into Matiga Hospital, which is the military hospital, I witnessed them myself, and then I was down at two different morgues today. In the first morgue, they reported 160 dead currently in the morgue, and the difficulty is that basically they have only very few refrigerators, so the majority of those dead are basically lying around on the floor. Some of them are, about two of them were in body bags. The rest of them were basically just on the floor all over the place in an un-air-conditioned room, and the blood leaking out, like oil, basically across the floor. They didn't have any water to be able to clean the bodies, and they had not even an air-conditioning unit in order to maintain any basic temperature there, and as you can imagine, Tripoli these days is pretty hot. So that was the figure there. It was 160 there. There was an additional 69 who had been in the morgue in the last few days, but they had been taken by the family who had basically come and identified them. They were quite overwhelmed. They were saying that when people were coming to identify them, because they didn't have identity documents on them, The people managing the morgue were not really able to screen these people in any way. They just had to let the family members take whoever they identified as being a family member. And that was also, I think, quite distressing for them in terms of management of the facility there. They mentioned that there had been 7 women and 4 children that had come in. And basically, the women had suffered from snipers and from mortar fire directed at buildings. They've been found in houses and brought in. And they said that there was around 69 civilians within the 160 that were there. And they had been identified by their civilian identity documents. The second morgue that I visited, they actually had only a few cases there. They had about 3 there, and it was seemed to be functioning much better. There were volunteers who were running it, because the staff who are normally running the morgue are not there, but at least they had some Wellington boots, and they had some kind of overalls, which in the first morgue they didn't have, and they also had water to be able to clean the place, and they had some refrigeration capacity, and there were around, 13 bodies that were being taken away from there, but they said that they'd had 250 dead bodies in the last 4 days. They said they'd had 750 since the beginning of the revolution in February. And in this second location, they said that the vast majority, if not all of the dead in that location, were government soldiers. And their words were that 150 of them the word that they used were foreign fighters, basically mercenaries, as identified by, they were not Libyans, and they, some of them, there was very few of them that they actually found some foreign passports on.
We've been speaking today a bit to and hearing reports of medical supplies running out. What's the situation like in the hospital in terms of both staff and supplies?
In terms of staff, I think it's gradually starting to get a little bit more ordered. I think the great difficulty was that Tripoli fell very quickly, and a lot of people were either, they'd already left the hospitals, or they were scared to come into work, or they were with the regime. And so basically the hospital itself, you've got very big hospitals like Matiga Hospital, which were able to function. They have an operational theatre, and they have some equipment and some drugs, and they're able to function, except they basically don't have the full teams. They don't have any nurses. The nurses basically didn't turn up after Tripoli was taken over. So they had some doctors, but the doctors couldn't perform operations without having the scrub nurses and the ICU nurses. And the hospital was receiving very large numbers of casualties in the last few days. And so, you know, they were faced with sort of a double emergency, where on the one hand, they had, you know, numbers of casualties and extreme cases that I'm sure they had not experienced, certainly in such numbers before. And at the same time, you know, they didn't, you know, they had very, very much reduced capacity in sort of hospital administration, the management, to be able to handle these cases. I came in with a team from International Medical Corps. We arrived from Misrata 5 days ago now, I think it was, and basically the staff went straight to work in the hospital, and we basically tried to work with the existing staff who were there, and with hospital management, and with other Libyan volunteer doctors, some who had come in from Misrata, some also from the Western Mountains and from Tripoli, to be able to get systems in place and to get better, you know, better area to be able to manage the triage system, the mass casualties that were coming in. The other difficulty was that you just put me off. Sorry, my colleague just put me off here. I didn't even know about them.
Supplies. How? Are you running low on that?
There are certain things like external fixators, which are running very low. Oxygen is problematic. We've been trying to find some solution today with Libyan volunteer doctors, but basically they don't have ability to be able to produce oxygen at the moment. This is one of the things that we're trying to try to see if we can work out locally. They have some supply, but this whole supply chain management is not computerized. They have, some paper records, and particularly because the staff who normally run the stores are not there, and, you know, they don't have communication with each different store. It's basically, you've got no idea of how much stock you have or how much stores you have until it's run out. So, I mean, I think, you know, we're just beginning to understand the type of things which we're going to need, and we're trying to make assessment. We've got access now to two other hospitals. We'll also be looking at them.
Is there a sense that the initial emergency is over there?
Well, the initial influx of casualties, the numbers of casualties, has certainly decreased. However, there are still a lot of casualties who are coming in, and there are severe injuries that are still being sustained, and there are a lot of operations which are stuck back, which need to happen, and there's equipment missing for those operations. Certainly, you know, from IMC side, we're trying to bring in more nurses, more specialist surgeons as well, and, you know, we're just trying to also coordinate with all the different local volunteers and organisations here, so that we can basically, you know, get as much as we can from here, and then basically try and get through our own channels anything else that can't be got within the country. There is a need for funds, for something to cover this. At the moment, we don't have any budget from IMC side to cover this this emergency. We are basically stretching the resources we had in country already. So, you know, we will need to be trying to mobilise additional donations to be able to get equipment and medication in.
What about the security situation? Do you feel safer to work now?
Certainly in the area of Sukhajima, it feels safe, and we've been able to move around the city. We've been able to move around relatively easily. However, there are checkpoints throughout the city, and, you know, basically, I mean, during daylight hours, I think it's fine, but, there are still pockets of resistance and fighting ongoing. And the situation as it stands remains quite fluid and quite volatile in some parts of Tripoli. So, you know, I think we're just trying to take things slowly, try and understand the situation as it evolves, and just, you know, also just do our best to support what is here instead of, you know, trying to get too carried away. Because it's also very important for the medical systems of Libya, you know, that they have complete sovereignty and complete, you know, that they are in control and in command of what's going on. So we're really just trying to come in to support that.
Okay, Kirsty, well, thank you very much for sparing the time. I'll let you get back to it all.
Cheers, okay.